Welcome to another edition of our podcast, Indiana is Ag Plus Bio Plus Science. It's presented by Agrinovus Indiana and Inside Indiana Business. I'm Gary Dick, the host of Inside Indiana Business, also the host of this weekly podcast where we have in-depth conversations with leaders, innovators, and entrepreneurs in Indiana's ag bioscience sector. It is the sector where food, agriculture, science, and technology all converge. This week, excited to sit down with Norman Burns. Norman is the president and CEO of Connor Prairie. And Norman, welcome to the podcast.
Very happy to be here this morning.
Give us a little bit of your background, your path to getting to Connor Prairie. I know the museum industry, if you will, is very much in your background.
It is. I actually grew up outside of Murfreesboro, Tennessee, on a 100-acre farm that my father and grandfather and uncle farmed. They didn't do it as a full-time occupation, but yet we had Hereford cattle and had tobacco and cotton, a few other things like that through the years. So I grew up being around agriculture. So I've always had that kind of outdoors and agriculture background, and I went on to get academic degrees in history and I planned on pursuing teaching, but went into the public sector about 33 years ago. And I've been in both my home state of Tennessee as well as 10 years in Richmond, Virginia, at a park there, and now at Connor Prairie. And I can tell you in that 33 years, Connor Prairie was always at the forefront of the museum profession, the innovative programming and things that Connor Prairie did. So when I received a phone call saying that that they were interested in finding a new president and CEO after my predecessor, Ellen Rosenthal, was retiring, it was a very easy answer to that phone call to say, yes, I would like to learn more about what Connor Prairie is doing today.
What really attracted you to Connor Prairie?
I think because Connor Prairie has always been an innovative organization. You go back to its origins with Eli Lilly, the fact that it was one of America's early preservation projects. He learned from John D. Rockefeller in Williamsburg. He and Ruth Lilly actually went there to learn about that and created the Living History Village very early on, even though it wasn't really open to the public. Actually, early on, he was doing farming and very innovative farming. So the fact that Connor Prairie is one of America's earliest living history sites and has the farming background, has always been innovative in programming, whether it was first-person interpretation or the educational programming we've done, the events like a Headless Horseman or partnerships with Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra for the symphony and those types of things. And then finally, experiential history, the big type of exhibits and programs we've done, like the 1859 Balloon Voyage and the 1863 Civil War Journey, Treetop Outpost, and all those. Mm-hmm. That's an example of doing things differently as a history museum, and that's why our aspirational goal is to continue that process and continue to change the way the world views and uses museums. And Connor Prairie started that a long time ago, and that's actually what got me excited about coming here.
Well, Connor Prairie is certainly one of the largest attractions in the state, one of the most visited outdoor museums in the country. It's a Smithsonian affiliate as well. As you mentioned, a long history of innovation that spans science, history, art, nature. If you would talk more but and kind of walk us through that educational experience and how it's transformed and why it's important for a museum to do those kinds of things to remain relevant, to continue to attract the people.
Well, I think it really starts with our founder, Eli Lilly, because he was very interested in teaching history in a way that books cannot. And I think that's why he wanted to preserve the William Connor story and the site and begin thinking about how could this tell larger stories and be a little bit more innovative in programming. And he wanted to preserve that early Indiana history. And William Connor, we're sitting here at Launch Fishers, and you know, Fishers is a smart, vibrant, entrepreneurial city. And as I remind Mayor Fadness, William Connor was really the first smart, vibrant, entrepreneurial citizen of Fishers, Indiana when he arrived here in 1801. So I think the continuation of that story and how we've innovated in education from the first-person interpretation to the opening doors philosophy of interpreting and educating students and adults that now over 1,400 museums worldwide have used that process. So we've always been at the cutting edge of innovation. The fact that we're considered one of the learning activities for social studies for fourth graders, that's why we serve over 60,000 school kids from across the state of Indiana and five other states. So educational programming has always been at the forefront. That's why we continue to push that with Preschool on the Prairie, our resident teacher program for Hampton Southeastern Schools, immersion biology programs with Ivy Tech, and I could go on and on, but we continue to push that envelope of innovating education education at a place like Conner Prairie.
Yeah, you mentioned Fishers and the brand, if you will, that the city of Fishers has created in terms of being entrepreneurial and innovative and what's going on with Conner Prairie. Does that make a nice fit or a nice connection between the two?
It really does, because you think about the history, and you know, I know that Fishers does not have the long history, perhaps as a city as some others in the state of Indiana, but the fact that its earliest citizen was right here on the banks of the White River, I think, gives it that heritage connection that most cities do not. And the fact that the White River runs right through the middle of Conner Prairie, through our property and through Fishers, I think makes that wonderful connection, because the White River is really the life source of this community. It's the land, and it's the river, and it's the people that were here, and the earliest inhabitants of this area knew that symbiotic relationship between the river and the land, and what that meant for nature and agriculture. And I think that's Fishers being in the middle of all that is a fine example of why it's become a smart entrepreneurial city.
Innovation and change has been a big part of the history at Conner Prairie. And as I understand it, there are some very significant future plans on the books at Conner Prairie that will prominently feature innovation in food and agriculture. What can you share with us about some of these new experiences?
In the last 3 years, we've done a comprehensive site master plan, really looking at the 1,046 acres of land that we have in the 3.3 miles of the White River that runs right through the middle of it, and just said, how can we develop this over time? So it's going to take a while to do this, but what should we focus on? And I told you earlier about Eli Lilly and his love of history and agriculture, and a lot of people don't realize, they probably don't remember at this point, that actually Conner Prairie Farm was very prominent on both the east and west side of the White River during Eli Lilly's lifetime, and it was very innovative farming. On the Fisher side was Percheron Horse Barn, as well as the as feeder cows and hogs on the west side. There are both sheep and hogs, and a very large operation for that. And so it's that agricultural background, the arrival of William Conner in agriculture that the White River supported, and then the continuation with that with Eli Lilly, and what Indiana means to agriculture worldwide today. That's really the story we want to tell. We think that with this acreage and with the river and our ability to be public-facing with the story of agriculture, that we're the right place, because we have the farmland to both take the educational content and apply it to the outdoors. And so our food, farm, and energy experience is really looking at that. How do we look at the symbiotic relationship between the land and the river and agriculture? How do we tell that story? Because, you know, by mid-century, there's going to be nearly 10 billion people on this planet with less than 1% of the population having anything to do with agriculture. So we have to figure out how to grow smarter. We have to figure out how to use our water better. And those are all prominent stories that will be featured in our food, farm, and energy experiences, as well as our River Heritage and Ecology Center that will be on the west side of the property.
There's a real feeling that Indiana can play, or already is playing, but can play a key role in feeding the world and the challenges that exist with that prospect. Do you see this new exhibit in Conner Prairie as maybe in some way playing a role in helping to tell Indiana's story?
Absolutely, we do. And we see that we're a complementary story to that. I mean, we have one of the best state fairs in the world here in Indianapolis, but that's less than 3 weeks out of the year that those stories can be told. And we have fairgrounds, and we do those things. But we believe that we can be a 365 public-facing story for agriculture in Indiana. And if you talk about agriculture in Indiana, you're talking about agriculture in the world. And so we feel that that's a positive story. And the fact that we're open to using this land and river and working in the public-private sector to do those things, I think, is a very interesting play. And the fact that we can truly go from agriculture in the past to agriculture today and the future all in one location and do that year-round, I think, is a positive thing for Indiana.
You really have a unique challenge of delivering educational learning to a really wide variety of ages and generations, which may need to be done using several different techniques. What has Conner Prairie done, or is Conner Prairie doing, to make the exhibit stay fresh? And you've kind of touched on this previously, but what do you do to kind of keep things relevant in today's world?
Well, we're always staying up on research within our profession, education profession, about what are our audiences looking for. And so we know that and we listen. We want to meet our audiences where they are in their life cycle. And so by listening to them, they tell us, you know, what type of exhibits, what type of programs would we like. We also know there's many other audiences that have not been reached by Conner Perry in the past. And that's why, as we look at being a more inclusive site and more accessible to different audiences, that we've developed programs that are really working with people that are on the autism spectrum, or with people with dementia, and those types of programs. We're working with different audiences that have different abilities as it's related to hearing and sight. And by reaching those audiences and doing that at Conner Perry through exhibits and programs, that's reaching a different type of audience than we have in the past. So we continue to innovate with the type of exhibits that's done inside our buildings and out on the land. And you're going to see more of that as we're in a capital campaign now to really change our Welcome Center into a museum experience center. And we're actually going to increase our exhibit space by 600%. And a lot of those will be interactive and special type of exhibits that people will have never seen before.
Jerry, that's a big expansion. Do you see that as, you know, Conner Perry already is on the map, if you will, but do you see this expansion and growth of Conner Perry is really putting Conner Perry out there?
It does. This first step with changing the way people enter Conner Perry off of Allisonville Road, we're going to be changing the landscape and the lay of the land, if you will, and by changing the Welcome Center into a true experience center and better orienting our guests to the history of Central Indiana as they arrive and how they get out on the grounds and the type of exhibitry. And right now, earlier we were talking about the fact that we're in what we consider our indoor season, and it's because the outdoor areas like Prairie Town and our Bloom Voyage and the Animal Encounter Barn and Civil War Journey and Treetop Outpost, and I can go on and on. They're all closed right now. And so Thursday through Sunday, we have our Welcome Center open, where we have Create Connect, Makesmith Workshop, Discovery Station, and other activities going on. But we need a larger space. We need to have this space where we can have programming and exhibits year-round. So people, whether they're coming in the wintertime or a rainy day, they know that Conner Perry is still a destination that they want to come to. And that's what this new Museum Experience Center is going to do. It's going to help us leverage our affiliation with the Smithsonian. It's going to help us leverage the type of exhibits and programs that we can do that our audiences are asking for.
You are still settling into Indiana. I think you've been here about 4 years or so now. What excites you about the opportunities in our state in telling the story of innovation, especially in the ag biosciences through education?
Well, you know, when I first got the phone call about Conner Perry, I did a little research and was seeing how, you know, Carmel had already been developing, but I saw that Fishers was really developing under Mayor Fadness and saw what Noblesville and Westville was doing. So I knew that Hamblin County was an area that was really developing, and I'd have an opportunity to come in and be part of that. But I was really excited about agriculture. And I would say that Conner Perry is one of these perfect fits for me personally and professionally at the right time in my life, and to be able to use all these experiences and my limited knowledge of agriculture and look at the history of agriculture at Conner Perry and say, hey, this is something we can do. And very early on, I discovered Agrinovis and knew that that was an organization that we didn't align with, and met Beth Bechtel, and we've developed relationships. She actually serves on the Conner Perry Museum Board now, and that's been so helpful as she's helped us make more contacts within the agricultural community as we talk about the story that we want to tell about agriculture in the state of Indiana.
Norman Burns is the president and CEO of Conner Perry. Norman, thank you very much for your insights into Indiana's ag biosciences and for joining us this week on the podcast.
Always happy to be here.
Okay. Well, and thank you for joining us on this latest edition of Ag Plus Bio Plus Science, the podcast, a weekly production partnership between Agrinovis Indiana and Inside Indiana Business. And you can keep up to date with Agrinovis by following Agrinovis on Twitter and Instagram at AgrinovisIN. Also find Agrinovis on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts so we can continue to share ag bioscience stories like this with more and more people. Thanks for joining us. I'm Gary Dick. We'll see you next time.
This podcast is a product of Inside Indiana Business, hosted by Gary Dick, produced by Libby Fritz and Joe Ullery, and was recorded on location at Launch Fishers. More people get Indiana business news from Inside Indiana Business than any other source.